Today is the first Sunday of Advent. The epistle for the first Sunday of Advent is taken from St. Paul's epistle to the Romans, the 13th chapter. Brethren, knowing the time, that it is now the hour for us to rise from sleep, for now our salvation is nearer than when we first believed. The night is past, and the day is at hand. Let us therefore cast off the works of darkness, and put on the armor of light. Let us walk honestly as in the day, not in rioting and drunkenness, not in chambering and impurities, not in contention and envy, but put ye on the Lord Jesus Christ. And the Holy Gospel is taken from the Gospel of St. Luke, the 21st chapter. At that time, Jesus said to his disciples, "There shall be signs in the sun and in the moon and in the stars, and upon the earth distress of nations, by reason of the confusion of the roaring of the sea and of the waves, men withering away for fear and expectation of what shall come upon the whole world. For the powers of heaven shall be moved, and then they shall see the Son of Man coming in a cloud with great power and majesty. But when these things begin to come to pass, look up, and lift up your heads, because your redemption is at hand." And he spoke to them a similitude. "See the fig tree and all the trees. When they now shoot forth their fruit, you know that summer is nigh. So you also, when you shall see these things come to pass, know that the kingdom of God is at hand. Amen, I say to you, this generation shall not pass away till all things be fulfilled. Heaven and earth shall pass away, but my words shall not pass away." Thus far the words of today's Holy Gospel. Look up and lift up your heads, because your redemption is at hand. Words taken from the Gospel of today's Mass. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Amen. Some years ago, my dear friends, an elderly Southern woman lay dying. She was a timorous soul who for years had traveled only in a horse-drawn carriage. Even then, she would allow only her faithful old servant, David, to drive. If anyone else took the reins, she became filled with fear. Now, as she lay dying, she imagined that she was once more in her carriage, but she couldn't see the driver. "Is David driving?" she asked. "I'm not afraid if David is driving." David, who had been sitting by her bed, clasped her hand and sadly moaned, "No, no, missus. David can't drive this time. The good Lord has hold of the reins. He is in control now." These words of David, my dear friends, are something that we should keep in mind as we read today's gospel. You see, in this gospel, our Lord foretells some of the signs of the end of the world. It was during the last week of his earthly life, while he was teaching in the temple, that our divine Savior warned that Jerusalem and the temple would be utterly destroyed. Then Jesus Christ said, "There shall be signs in the sun and in the moon and in the stars, and upon the earth a distress of nations, by reason of the confusion of the roaring of the sea and of the waves, men withering away for fear and expectation of what shall come upon the whole world." A little later he added, "But when these things begin to come to pass, look up and lift up your heads, because your redemption is at hand." In other words, my dear friends, our Lord warned us that almost unimaginable catastrophes will precede the end of the world. He said that these disasters will cause men to worry and to fear so much that they will even die of fear and worry. However, he clearly points out that even these disastrous events will be under his control and direction. After all, he has described them to us in advance and promised that they will be the heralds of our salvation. Of course, my dear friends, none of us can say with certainty when the world will end, that is, when these disastrous events will come. Will the world end next year, or will it last for centuries longer? No one of us can say for sure. What we do know, though, is that the world will end for each one of us at the moment of our own deaths. Of course, we do not know exactly when we will die. It might be tonight, or tomorrow, or 50 years from now. But we know that someday death will come for each one of us. And this thought of approaching death, causes many people to grow fearful, because human nature tends to fear what it hasn't experienced before. But this anxiety about death is not what the loving Sacred Heart wants us to have. He does not want us to be anxious about the future. He wants us to trust Him and have confidence in His love and mercy. You see, God is our most loving Father. By His providence, He ensures that every event will give us opportunities to save our souls. God the Son became man to purchase our salvation. He sweated blood, was scourged, was mocked, and suffered a most painful death so that each one of us could spend eternity with Him after our own deaths. St. Francis of Paula says, "Inflamed with love for us, He came down from heaven to redeem us. For our sake, He endured every torment of body and soul and shrank from no bodily pain." Could He do more than that to prove His love for us? And that is why our Divine Redeemer tells us to look up and lift up your heads, because your redemption is at hand. You should lift up your heads by remembering that God the Father is your most loving Creator and powerful Helper, that God the Son has shed all His most precious blood to purchase your soul, and that God the Holy Ghost delights to dwell in your soul by His sanctifying grace. So if the thought of death fills you with fear, do not hang your head in consternation, terror, or anxiety. Instead, look up at the crucifix and lift up your head with the assurance that the God who died for you will certainly help you to save your soul. And He will do this because He desires your salvation even more than you do. That faithful old servant David pointed out that our Lord holds the reins of our lives. He is in control. He guides and directs our lives, just as David guided the horses pulling the carriage. And just as the old woman in the story was comforted by imagining that David was driving, we should be comforted by remembering the fact that God controls all the circumstances of our life and death. Of course, God can certainly be trusted much more than even the most reliable of faithful servants. So even though we do not know when we will die, we should strive to be always ready to die. St. Alphonsus gives this advice. He says, "Act as if every day were your last, or the last of your life, and that each action were the last that you perform." If we do this, my dear friends, we will be prepared for death, no matter when it comes upon us. And that is why the Church reminds us of the end of the world in today's Gospel. Today, the first Sunday of Advent, is the Church's New Year's Day, the first day of the liturgical year. So the Church warns us to be prepared for death because it may very well come upon us this year. How are we to make this preparation? We should resolve to seize the opportunities God gives us each day, those opportunities for grace and good works. And if we do this consistently, to the best of our ability, every day, we won't need to fear death. We will be able to trust in God's love and in His mercy. Let us then strive to avoid all mortal sin, and even all venial sin this Advent. Let us come more frequently to the sacraments, and let us practice a true devotion to our Blessed Mother by placing ourselves under her powerful protection and by trying to imitate the virtues that she shows to us in her rosary. This, my dear friends, is how we should strive to live every day. If we earnestly and seriously make our best effort to do these things every day of our lives, trusting that God holds the reins of our lives, we will be ready when death comes for us, no matter when it comes. Then, no matter what the circumstances are, we will be comforted to know that by death, our most loving Father is calling us home to Himself. Death will not be a departure for a strange country, my dear friends, if we do these things, but death will become a sweet going home to God, who is your most loving Father. God bless you. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost, amen.